Wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord, in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we're going to read. Today I'm going to share the word of God, what the Lord put in my heart. And I have been meditating about this word the last few weeks now. From Ephesians. And we're going to read the word, and then we will go throughout the outline. Ephesians chapter 2, actually we'll start from verse 1 to 10. I read it in the name of the Lord. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the craving of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, there is nothing in us. Father, hallelujah. The timing is perfect. Well, I was planning to deliver a short message, and you might ask, what does that mean? And now I just wasted a few minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have such a loving Father, so we can laugh, we can be ourselves in his presence. He loves us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, by the way, you wouldn't be able to do such thing what I did. You will be dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. We give you glory and honor because you are worthy to be worshipped, worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for your workmanship. Thank you for that very carefully we are made. Oh, how wonderful you are to us. In Christ Jesus. Today, millions of people around the world, around the globe, they bow down, give glory to your name. So are we. We give glory to your name, Father. There is no other name but the name of Christ Jesus, who is worthy to receive honor, glory, and thanks. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Brighton Christian Church. Thank you for the opportunity you have made today. Father, it is your work that you create opportunities for us. Hallelujah. To do good works in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Such wonderful thoughts. Father, keep us in this framework today. Speak to our soul as we disperse outside of this place. Father, we carry this, the presence of God, the image of God, his essence, who he is in Christ Jesus to us. We may reflect him in our everyday walk, at home, with our children, at work, everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, reveal your word and give us our daily bread. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, the Apostle Paul writes to Ephesians Church. The Ephesians Church is what we call it Asia Minor, on the northwest side of the Mediterranean Sea. And few of the churches which the Apostle Paul wrote a letter, not specifically to Ephesians, but first it arrived to Ephesians Church, but it went on to different churches, Colossians, and to other Philippian churches as well. So, here, also, if we go to Acts chapter 15, we could be able to see that how the Apostle Paul went through his missionary work to Ephesus and established the church and at the same time minister for many years there, and also that how effectively the power of the Lord was working among those Christians. So it's very, very important. You go to Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 20, you could be able to see. By the way, I just want to mention, recently I found out that anything you read in other scriptures, the Acts are the actions, what took place. So Luke, the Apostle Luke wrote this very carefully in the book of Acts. So we could be able to find what we are reading in other places, especially ministry, missionary workers and ministries have been done. You could be able to see the same thing being explained on Acts, the book of Acts. So it's very, very important. Here, he delivers first, in the first sentence, he says, and you were dead. That was not a good news, yeah? It was not a good news. You were dead in the trespass and sins in which you once walked following the course of this world, he says. He mentions three things. He says, in the world, this world, following the prince of the power of the air. And he says, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So this is very, very important for us to identify what are these. So there is a world. We are in it. But the world itself is traveling in a fast rate away from God. So the world produces so many things which are not of God. So we have to be careful, and we have to carefully observe and stay away from it. So the second thing he says, following the prince of the power of the air. In that, in Ephesus, there are a lot of idols, known idols in the Asia Minor. People travel there to pay tribute and to worship. So Apostle Paul carefully states that the prince of the power of the air, on the atmosphere, there is a spirit which is thrown out of heaven, from outside of God's presence. So it stays on the air and it fights us, it hinders us. So it's very important that we know that. Then there is another thing. This spirit flowing around on the air is actually on the people who are disobedient of God. These are people who have rejected God. They don't want God. They don't want God in themselves. They don't want to hear about God's word. They don't want to hear about God's salvation. They rejected Christ. There are such people out there. In them, because they are obeying this spirit functions very well. So we are slaves of something which we are driven by. So this spirit is out there that residing on those who are disobedient and carries out its deeds, its evil works. It says, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So it is for all people at one time, because of Adam's sin, all people are subjected to this. When we are staying away from God, we end up being slaves of the devil and his works. So we have to carefully examine the life, the living, the deeds, even the thoughts we have. The Bible tells us to capture the thought goes in our mind. So there are several things we could do. This is a subject for another time to discuss. But there are several things we allow observing in our five senses. This is my own understanding. In five senses, because we grasp on by looking things, we see things, and we hear, we touch, we smell. All these things have introduced something from outside to inside. The body, he says, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. So when we allow the enemy who is on the air, when we allow the enemy to come in and does what he wants us to do, we become a football field. You just place and reside in there. So we have to protect that. So that is what the Apostle Paul is writing. This is a very strong church. A lot of miracles happened there. As I said, you could be able to read it from Acts chapter 19, but he still admonishes, he still communicates the word of God to protect the body of Christ. There is the good news. So the good news reads like this. The good news says, but God, being rich in mercy because of great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I am so glad we are made alive. Hallelujah. When we are away from God, we are dead and we allow the enemy to work in us. When we are with God, his spirit similarly is alive in us. Hallelujah. Would you say amen to that? Yes. The spirit of the living God resides in us. He leads us. He indicates where we should go, how we should do it. And he advises, he counsels, he leads us. So it's very important we exercise how to hear the living God resides in us. This does not come automatically. I will tell you later. So now he says, the Spirit of God, while we were dead, you know, think about this. Even in our children, it's very easy to love the child who is very obedient. Very obedient child is very easy to love. But the challenge is when children are disobedient, then still to love them. And that is what is telling us that God has great mercy. Hallelujah. God has great mercy. Hallelujah. And he wants us to exercise this. He wants us this kindness, graciousness. I want us to look at what it means, really, mercy. How do we define mercy? And it says, made us alive with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Hallelujah. That is not up for negotiation. It is absolutely a done deal. Praise the name of the Lord. You are loved by God, my brothers and sisters. If you are here, you are seeking God. I recently read one scripture. It says, if you truly seek God, in your heart, if you really seek him, you shall find him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter where you are. You could be in Saudi Arabia or in Africa or everywhere. Those who are seeking God, God will find a way to meet them there. Hallelujah. God will find a way to meet them there, my brothers. We believe that. We believe because that is how we are saved. Not because we were seeking and that we were looking for him. He mercifully, because he chose us, he called us. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So this is, as we exercise our spiritual life, as we exercise day by day, how can we exercise God continuously? It's a very challenging task. Very challenging. We're not talking about salvation here. We are saved by grace. There is nothing we can do about it. But there is relationship after we are saved. We want to get closer to God. We want to listen to Him clearly. So that takes work, good work. Seated us with Him in the heavenly places. The Bible says, seek above. So that is positionally, even while physically we are here, positionally we are with God in Christ Jesus. Sitting, we are raised from the dead. We are no longer dead people walking on the streets. We are alive in Christ. The Spirit of the living God lives in us. And at the same time, our position in higher places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Even though the enemy does so many tricks on us, so much failing and going through sickness and disease, and in so many ways, we go through so many things in life. But guess what? Because we are already positionally in Christ Jesus, there is nothing He can do about it. Hallelujah. There is nothing He can do about it. So we have guarantee. That guarantee is the Holy Spirit is living in us. Hallelujah. So by grace you have been saved and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, what does that mean, coming ages? The coming ages is eternity. Hallelujah. Starting the coming of Christ, that eternity, the journey of eternity begins. And God is immeasurably, this His riches of His grace, His mercy and kindness, it is not something you can measure it. That's what He's saying. You know, everything, I work as an engineer, everything is measured in microns, in millimeters, in inches. We measure, especially in my previous job. That's what all I did with the team, that measuring. Why? We want to make it better. Here, it says it is immeasurable. You can't measure it. The grace of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, you cannot measure it. It is eternal, and it is something you can exercise now. Hallelujah. Immeasurable riches of grace is kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, it tells us how we were saved. It says, and by what means we were saved. It says, for by grace, it says, by this undeserved gift, by grace. Hallelujah. What do you feel about that? By grace, you have been saved. By grace, undeserved. There is nothing you did. There is nothing. You can't think of it. It's very hard, my brothers and sisters, when you don't know what you did to deserve it, it will cause you to bow down and give glory to the Lord every day. That's what it does. There is nothing you can say, oh, I get it because I am from Ethiopia. That's why I'm saved. No. Or I am this. I am poor. Or I am rich. No, it is God's choice. Hallelujah. He never left that for anything, anybody. He chose you, and He gave you that grace so that you can be His child. For by grace you have been saved. Now, watch the transition. He says, you, Now we have been saved through faith. We have to believe and we have to accept that gift, the free gift of God. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Oh, if somebody is doing something for you, there is at one point or another he's going to mention it. In one way or another. But God took that equation out. He is the only God who saves and gives, provides his grace to everybody. Hallelujah. Christ died for all, but we have to accept that gift given to us. That is very important. We have to have faith, trusting what God, the work of God, what is being done is true, and it is Christ who saves us. Now there is no boasting about salvation. Now it says, verse 10, for we, now it was you, he says, for we are his workmanship. Hallelujah. Workmanship, what does that mean? Workmanship. Workmanship. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and also chapter 5, it tells us that we are made in the image of God. What does that mean? What does that mean, being made in the image of God? So let's go ahead and read it. In Genesis chapter 5, it says, this is written accounts of Adam lying. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. What does that mean? He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. So this man, M-A-N, in the scripture sometimes used for female and male, it just does not mean that male only. So don't take it that way, brothers. Hallelujah. Female and male. Male and female. On 27, it says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 also says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So the question which a lot of theologians debating about, what does the image mean? Does it mean we look, God looks like us? Does it physically, does that what it means? It's a very critical question. Image. So I want us to look a few things. Historically, the church believes, still we believe, that three characteristics, what it means to be created in the image of God. So what it means to look alike in his likeness. So pretty much this is, humans are created in the image of God. We are image bearers. So God's image is in you, over you, as you walk everywhere. Man is a spiritual, as God is a spiritual. So the Bible tells us in John chapter 4, when Jesus was talking to that Samaritan lady, Jesus explained to her, you know, about the worship, where we should worship, in Jerusalem or in the mountains. Where shall we worship? She asked him. He told her that God is a spirit, and those who worship him, they worship him in spirit and truth. So this is the first characteristics. We are similar to God. Spiritual. We are spiritual beings. So we need to develop that part. In most cases, we know we are well aware of that we are physical. We have bodies, we eat, we walk, we talk, we have senses, we look, we desire, those kind of things. But we forget about our spirituality. This has the same characteristics as in we need it. We depend on God to feed this, the spirit we are created in. Means the spirit itself has to be fed to grow. For 1 week, if I just stay away reading the scripture, I know I am dry. I feel that dryness. I feel, don't you witness that? Yes. So this is how we feed our soul, our spirit. So the second part, we are created in the image of God, is we are relational. We are relational. It's very important. So we reason rationality and this thinking, and actually we like or we choose things. We choose things. I'm sure you get me. You get the point. Relational. We have the ability to choose, logically to think, to plan, to think. Those kind of things are, these are the characteristics of God. God does not do anything without planning. And he plans means he shows his plans, not necessarily because he has to plan, because he's an Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There is nothing in there he could be able to, nothing is separate, hidden away from him. But we take these God's characteristics in us. And this is a very important characteristics. Image. We are relational. We love. We hurt. We feel sorrow. We feel sadness. All these are expressed in God's characteristics as well. The third one is we are functional. Functional, God is a creator. And as you can see, man also has the ability to discover things, to make things. So these are the three characteristics are the image of God is in us. So we carry this every single day. So that is the workmanship. That is, we got to the image part because it was an art. He takes this messy dirt. Have you seen the potter's? It's on the internet, you could be able to see. If you go to the potter's house, you could be able to see how he mixes the dirt and with water, with other ingredients, so that he can make an image. So this image is very, very important. Important. So on the second, going back to our, we looked at the workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. We'll come to that. And so which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So when God created us, he created us for his glory. It's an artwork. David understands, the King David understands this very well. He says how magnificently intricate, even within the womb, how God carefully made humans. He cares for us so much. It's not, it is an artwork. It is a piece of art which is highly valued. Highly valued. In no one of the creation God gave his spirit to. Only to humans. Do you see that? Only to humans. So we are very special to him. So as we are recreated in Christ Jesus, when we are alive, made alive again, these are the things which are activated in us. Activated in us. The Spirit of the living God is no longer dead in us. It is activated. Activated. We can listen. We can function with God. We can function. When I'm confused, when I'm not sure what I need to do, I just simply know that God is going to speak to me. In one way or another, I have to tell you, there is no certain things he will do this in this formula or that formula. But I know he does. Why? Because I seek him and I want to hear him. So I say, Father, I don't know what to do about this situation. And guess what? While I am asleep, either I am awake, God speaks. Just something comes in my spirit, very bold, very clear. He says, this is, I remember in my previous organization, I had a very urgent root cause analysis I had to make. There is a lot of millions of dollars being wasted every hour, every hour. If I don't come with a solution, everybody is tense. The managers are right there on behind you, right? You know what I'm talking about. So they want the solution immediately. So I was so troubled by it because there is no time to solve this. Go and do the, collect the data, do this. We have a discipline called the DMAIC system, going through in each one of them, do the data collection, analysis, all that stuff. But I say to the Lord, Father, what do I do? What do I do? Show me. So, searching, 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 I go home all night, praying about it, coming to work. I come and passing by, coming to work, I'm passing by. I was close to the oven and passing by. The Spirit of the Lord in me, it's like a bell, a ringing bell, something. So I said, okay, that's what it is. So actually what I was referring to is the problem is in this environment. So the Holy Spirit literally wants me to search. He did not show me, oh, this is how you solve it. He just indicated me to search in that particular area. Guess what? I went and searched it. I found out and solved the problem. Praise be to the name of the Lord. That we have to activate the Spirit of God. We have to activate the Spirit of God. Now, it comes in from you. So when we are saved, what happens? What are the steps? We say yes to the Lord, then what happens? Well, there are a few steps we need to understand. The scripture teaches us how the Holy Spirit brings us in unity and fellowship. So when we say yes to the Lord, the Holy Spirit immediately takes us and puts us in the church. in the church, in the global church, among the saved, among the sent, among the delivered, those who are alive, we become part of the global church. That's why I work in California. If I go to California, I see a Christian brother or sister, I can connect immediately. Why? We are in the same body. In the same body. Then the scripture asks me, that admonishes us, for us to get connected with the local church also. Why? Because this workmanship being created in Christ Jesus is something we do work after salvation. We are not, work is not brings us salvation, but after we are receive our salvation, we do a good work in Christ Jesus. And that is how we demonstrate God everywhere we go. So keep in mind, we talked about the image of God, the grace of God, and we carry this, the Spirit of the living God, everywhere we go. So, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So what God does is he created already the opportunity, the path to accomplishing good works, doing good works. Do you see the point? Hallelujah. So we don't inherit the kingdom of God by our good works. It is totally by faith, by the grace of God, we become part of this bigger church, what we call it, the body of Christ. The imagery uses my body has fingers, foot, and a different part of the body, organs, system, different part of the body. So as we are in the body, as my body functions to do works, we do as a body of Christ the same way. My brothers and sisters, so now he takes us, he puts us in the global body, and he leads us to fellowship with local churches. So that's why we ask. I've been a member of Brighton Christian Church for the last 17 years. Lord called me here, and I am still here because I will be here until the Lord says, okay, now I will send you somewhere else. If that is the case, that means the Lord opens up this, the opportunity. The opportunity means he prepared beforehand. Do you see that? On verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which prepared beforehand. I just discovered it. When the time comes, what I need to do will be popping up. And I will know it. And then he says, we walk in it. Hallelujah. This walk, what it means is live. The Lord called Abraham, he says, walk before me. What it means is walk, live in righteousness, in goodness, in mercy. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord wants us to do. And we will know it. We will know it. As God called Abraham, when he called him, he didn't know where he was going.
But later on, he knew God's promise, God's covenant, exactly where God was. Why are we created? And what was the purpose we are created? And that he unites the body. So when he puts us in the body, first in the global church, then in the local church, now we are attached through Christ. So I want to read to you one place, very, very important, then we will wrap up. So what unites us as a body? I need you to hear me very clearly. So I told you that the message will be short. I really mean it this time. In Ephesians 2, the Apostle Paul explains this in chapter 2, verse 15 to 22, how we can be united. Well, I am from Africa. I happened to come to Michigan because Ford Motor Company brought me from Colorado. How can I be brother and sisters in Brighton Christian Church working and serving the Lord for the last 17 years? Does not make sense, right? This is why. This is why. Verse 18. Actually, I would like to start from verse, the same book, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 to 22. It says this: by abolishing the law, remember, this is the Apostle Paul writing to Ephesians. The Ephesians are a mixture of people, means a diverse group of people. There are Jewish community, there are Gentiles, there are Greeks, and Romans. There are a lot of people from a different background. So he says this: by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinance, that he might create in himself one new man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why we are the bride of Christ, as one new man. Hallelujah. So he puts you in the church. He puts you in the church. Guess what? In so many ways, he works out every day. He prunes us. Prunes us. You know, have you seen builders? Of course you have. Of course you have. The builders, when I get fascinated actually to look at builders. When they build, they take chisels. Okay, they form this rock. What do we call it, Scott? Is there, sculpting and making these shapes and sizes. Why? Because the house needs to be built. Dan can tell us about this a lot better than I do. So they put this rock, they chisel it, and they create a fitting shape, and they fit it and to build the house. So this is the body of Christ, is similarly made in this formation, that God takes this newborn baby, a newborn person, he puts him in the church, then he starts pruning him. See, sometimes what the mistake we make is, we come into the church and we think we can fit just right away. We can't. That's why he prunes us. Sometimes actually suffering can shape us up. Prayer, having the word of God, devotion, all these things contribute for us to fit to the body of Christ. When we are not fitting to the body of Christ, there is a problem. There is a problem. Overall, we have to fit to the body of Christ. Now we go to the main idea. Expressing in order that he may create in himself one new man in place of the two. What is he mentioning the two? Well, as you know, in the scriptures that there are people who have been called, the Jewish people, God's people. They were called by God. They are chosen because of Abraham, because of his faith in God. And now they are worshiping, fellowshipping. They are in the body of Christ, in the church. So the Apostle Paul instructs them, God is going to make not two, not three, not four, but one man. How? We will see it. Create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. What he's talking about is near the Jewish people. They were near. They were serving God. They were following God. They were listening to God. Actually, as you know, when they were coming out of Egypt, at one point God said, I'm not going with you, to Moses. You go Exodus chapter 33, you could be able to see the Spirit of God were leading them by day in fire and by night in clouds. By day in clouds, by night in fire. They were being led. And God said, I'm not going with you because of a lot of sin and disappointment. But Moses said an amazing thing. He said, God, please don't send us. If you are not going, we are not going. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, I tell you today, we cannot overcome the challenge of the world. We cannot overcome the challenge of this, the evil spirit. We cannot overcome the opposition unless we, the body of Christ, come together, unless we are led by the Spirit, unless with prayer and devotion. It's very difficult, very difficult. That is very important. So, moving on, and so making peace. Now, verse 18, look how we are united. And for through him, we both have access to one Spirit. Hallelujah. We were separate because there is an ordinance. It says circumcised, uncircumcised. There is a lot of ordinances that divide us in half. Now Christ is saying he is creating a new man in Christ Jesus. So there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no slave, a new man in Christ Jesus. Would you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. In the body of Christ, there is no such thing as a stranger and alien. When we say that, we are actually creating a division in the church. We are introducing a spirit where it doesn't belong. We are united in Christ Jesus. There is absolutely nothing can separate us. We can separate ourselves. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, but on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being a cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into the holy temple in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now we know a temple is a place where worship takes place. Hallelujah. In the beginning, I mentioned to you that we are created to glorify God, to magnify Him. Say, worthy, 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 to receive glory and honor and thanks. Hallelujah. How that happens? When we do this in unity, in Christ, citizens, with senses, one body, being joined together, grows into the holy temple in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now we are made temple. The temple is connected. The building is connected. God is chiseling each one of us, fitting us. We're not perfect. We're not. There is no way. Yeah, we are not. So He takes and He makes this the one which is fitting. So He takes me and He fits me right there. Now He creates a temple where there is worship takes place. Hallelujah. When I say praise the Lord, you say praise the Lord. Not because you are obligated, but we worship the same Father, the same Spirit resides in us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I'm finishing now. Trust me. In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into the holy temple. I love the word grows. Oh, this is a journey. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you, after you, He puts that, the rock in there, it's just not quite fitting. He takes it out. He chisels it again. He puts it back again. Here is the thing. After He puts all this rock together, still there are spaces. You see, still there are holes in there. Oh, that's where the cement comes, right? The cement, He comes in, He lashes, He puts the cement. Look at the wall. There is no hole or space. You see that the whole is united. Hallelujah. In the Spirit of the living God. So that is how we are united. Different rocks, different kinds of rocks. Oh, He makes us diamonds. He makes us valuables. He makes us ministers of the kingdom of God. So we worship and we glorify God in the temple. In Him, we are also being built together into dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are being built together for God by the Spirit. Together into dwelling place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we personally, we have individually, we worship God. We praise God. We bow down to God. And corporately, as a body of Christ, we do the same. And the magnificence of God is present in our midst. Grace means undeserved favor. Hallelujah. Today, you have been here. You have come to the living stone, to the living fountain, because God chose you to be here. Glory, it means the Hebrew word called, similar to Amharic, to my language, it means kabad, means worthy, it's heavy. That's why this we adopt this word, and we have, when we feel the Holy Spirit, we say, oh, it was heavy. It was means the presence of the Lord was is evident. We feel it. He is present. That's what it means. Glory means That's exactly what we mean, that the presence of the Lord. We call upon the presence of the Lord. We lift up God. We say, worthy, worthy. See, the law expresses this in a different way. It says, love your God. Yes? It says, love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That is what it means to love God, means to worship God, to reverence Him, to lift Him up. Because His God, high worthiness is upon Him. Praise be to His name. Hallelujah. Image means, the Hebrew word, still the same in Amharic, means tasalem. Tasalem means actually, we go to church as an Orthodox, we go to church, we used to, masalem means we bow down to the temple. Tasalem means this image is created and we masalem. Tasalem means that's exactly what it means. That image I have expressed earlier that we carry as a temple as we go everywhere. My brothers and sisters, it is a beautiful life. The world is a very difficult place to live. It's a challenging place to live. It's a challenging for young guys, young girls, in all of us. It's a very challenging place to live. We have looked at how we should overcome. In practicality, there are five places I'm not going to get to it because of time. But we worship God in prayer. We fellowship to one another. So worshiping is loving God. Fellowshipping, loving one another. And then we have missiology. We go out in Australia today. We are sending the people to go to missions. So the fourth thing, we discipleship means every day we have to feed. We have to be students. I just recently graduated from school, Moody Theological Seminary. But I just love to be a student of the word, period. I'm not going to graduate. Means I am devoting my life, my soul, my every time, studying the word of God. Why? There is nothing worthy than that. There is nothing. Academically, I went through colleges, universities, finished that twice even. It's good. But there is much love to learn, to live, to imitate, to emulate, to live and display and don't demonstrate. Discipleship is the fourth one. These are applications. Fellowship, worship, fellowship, missions, discipleship, and the last one is service. That we serve one another. We serve one another. We serve outside one another. I will tell you one story quickly. Just recently, I have my colleague from my work here. The Lord gave me an opportunity. We were going for training to Grand Blanc. This is about 2 years ago. So I asked the Lord, saying, Lord, how can I serve my colleagues? How can I serve my colleagues? So, as I was asking, we are traveling every day from Warren, Michigan, to Grand Blanc. So the Lord gave me a way of service. This is how it went. So the Lord gave me an idea. That idea is to to get up early in the morning. Every day, I check vehicles. I check out vehicles. So that means I become a driver. So we are going traveling every day to Grand Blanc, every day for 5 days. Guess what? This is a time of fellowship, time of to get to know each other. So unless we create the opportunity, means we ask the Lord to show us the opportunity, because he prepared already the way, the path. We just have to walk in it. So I asked the Lord, what do you want me, Lord, to do? So I go, I check early in the morning, I park the car on central location, everybody comes, my colleagues, we travel together for 5 days, yeah? So I get to know them. So the Lord gave me this idea. As I was doing that, so I say this, after everybody gets in the car, I say, you know, I don't drive without prayer. So guess what? My colleagues have to pray with me. So we pray together, and we drive, and I drop them. You know, we stay there training, and we come back together. Now I have a fellowship with few of them. The Lord gave me, with that time of fellowship connection, the Lord made it possible for me to get to know them. Some of them are already actually Christians. I didn't know. But because of that opportunity, the Lord opened up the fellowship at work for me to fellowship with them. My brothers and sisters, we took our time to see how the Lord calls us, how the Lord puts us in the church, how what we need to do to unify the body of Christ. And in unity, that the temple is being built and the image of God being transported and being exhibited to the world. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for encouraging the body of Christ. Thank you for teaching us how to be obedient. Thank you that we realize that we have access in the same spirit to the Father. We have unity in the body of Christ. We continue to grow because of what you have done on the cross. We give you glory and honor today and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. When you don't know what you did to deserve it, it will cause you to bow down and give glory to the Lord every day. That's what it does. There is nothing you can say, oh, I get it because I am from Ethiopia. That's why I'm saved. No. No. Or I am this. I am poor. Or I am rich. No, it is God's choice. Hallelujah. He never left that for anything, anybody. He chose you and he gave you that grace so that you can be his child. For by grace you have been saved. Now watch the transition. He says you. Now we have been saved through faith. We have to believe. And we have to accept that gift, the free gift of God. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Oh, if somebody is doing something for you, there is at one point or another he's going to mention it. In one way or another. But God took that equation out. He is the only God who saves and gives, provides his grace to everybody. Hallelujah. Christ died for all, but we have to accept that gift given to us. That is very important. We have to have faith, trusting what God, the work of God, what is being done is true, and it is Christ who saves us. Now there is no boasting about salvation. Now it says, verse 10, for we, now it was you, he says, for we are his workmanship. Hallelujah. Workmanship, what does that mean? Workmanship. Workmanship. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and also chapter 5, it tells us that we are made in the image of God. What does that mean? What does that mean, being made in the image of God? So let's go ahead and read it. In Genesis chapter 5, it says, this is written accounts of Adam lying. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. What does that mean? He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. So this man, M-A-N, in the scripture sometimes used for female and male, it just does not mean that male only. So don't take it that way, brothers. Hallelujah. Female and male. Male and female. On 27, it says, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 also says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So the question which a lot of theologians debating about, what does the image mean? Does it mean we look, God looks like us? Does it physically, does that, what it means? It's a very critical question. Image. So I want us to look a few things. Historically, the church believes, still we believe, that three characteristics, what it means to be created in the image of God. So what it means to look alike in his likeness. So pretty much this is, humans are created in the image of God. We are image bearers. So God's image is in you, over you, as you walk everywhere. Man is a spiritual, as God is a spiritual. So the Bible tells us in John chapter 4, when Jesus was talking to that Samaritan lady, Jesus explained to her, you know, about the worship, where we should worship, in Jerusalem or in the mountains. Where shall we worship? She asked him. He told her that God is a spirit, and those who worship him, they worship him in spirit and truth. So this is the first characteristics. We are similar to God. Spiritual. We are spiritual beings. So we need to develop that part. In most cases, we know we are well aware of that we are physical. We have bodies, we eat, we walk, we talk, we have senses, we look, we desire, those kind of things. But we forget about our spirituality. This has the same characteristics as in we need it. We depend on God to feed the spirit we are created in. Means the spirit itself has to be fed to grow. For 1 week, if I just stay away reading the scripture, I know I am dry. I feel that dryness. I feel, don't you witness that? Yes. So this is how we feed our soul, our spirit. So the second part, we are created in the image of God, is we are relational. We are relational. It's very important. So we reason rationality and this thinking, and actually we like or we choose things. We choose things. I'm sure you get me. You get the point. Relational. We have the ability to choose, logically to think, to plan, to think. Those kind of things are, these are the characteristics of God. God does not do anything without planning. And he plans means he shows his plans, not necessarily because he has to plan, because he's an Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There is nothing in there. He could be able to, nothing is separate, hidden away from him. But we take these God's characteristics in us. And this is a very important characteristics. Image. We are relational. We love. We hurt. We feel sorrow. We feel sadness. All these are expressed in God's characteristics as well. The third one is we are functional. Functional, God is a creator. And as you can see, man also has the ability to discover things, to make things. So these are the three characteristics are the image of God is in us. So we carry this every single day. So that is the workmanship. That is, we got to the image part because it was an art. He takes this messy dirt. Have you seen the potters? It's on the internet you could be able to see. If you go to the potter's house, you could be able to see how he mixes the dirt and with water, with other ingredients, so that he can make an image. So this image is very, very important. Important. So on the second, going back to our, we looked at the workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. We'll come to that. And so which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So when God created us, he created us for his glory. It's an artwork. David understands, the King David understands this very well. He says how magnificently intricate, even within the womb, how God carefully made humans. He cares for us so much. It is an artwork. It is a piece of art which is highly valued. Highly valued. in no one of the creation God gave his spirit to, only to humans. Do you see that? Only to humans. So we are very special to him. So as we are recreated in Christ Jesus, when we are alive, made alive again, these are the things which are activated in us. Activated in us. The Spirit of the living God is no longer dead in us. It is activated. Activated. We can listen. We can function with God. We can function. When I'm confused, when I'm not sure what I need to do, I just simply know that God is going to speak to me. In one way or another, I have to tell you, there is no certain things he will do this in this formula or that formula. But I know he does. Why? Because I seek him and I want to hear him. So I say, Father, I don't know what to do about this situation. And guess what? While I am asleep, either I am awake, God speaks. Just something comes in my spirit, very bold, very clear. He says, this is, I remember in my previous organization, I had a very urgent root cause analysis I had to make. There is a lot of millions of dollars being wasted every hour, every hour. If I don't come with a solution, everybody is tense. The managers are right there on behind you, right? You know what I'm talking about. So they want the solution immediately. So I was so troubled by it because there is no time to solve this. Go and collect the data, do this. We have a discipline called the DMAIC system, going through in each one of them, do the data collection, analysis, all that stuff. But I say to the Lord, Father, what do I do? What do I do? Show me. So, searching, I go home all night, praying about it, coming to work. I come and passing by, coming to work, I'm passing by. I was close to the oven and passing by. The Spirit of the Lord in me, it's like a bell, the ringing bell, something click. So I said, okay, that's what it is. So actually what I was referring to is the problem is in this environment. So the Holy Spirit literally wants me to search. He did not show me, oh, this is how you solve it. He just indicated me to search in that particular area. Guess what? I went and searched. I found out and solved the problem. Praise be to the name of the Lord. That we have to activate the Spirit of God. We have to activate the Spirit of God. Now, it comes in from you. So when we are saved, what happens? What are the steps? We say yes to the Lord, then what happens? Well, there are a few steps we need to understand. The scripture teaches us how the Holy Spirit brings us in unity and fellowship. So when we say yes to the Lord, the Holy Spirit immediately takes us and puts us in the church. In the church, in the global church, among the saved, among the saints, among the delivered, those who are alive, we become part of the global church. That's why I work in California. If I go to California, I see a Christian brother or sister, I can connect immediately. Why? We are in the same body. In the same body. Then the scripture asks me, that admonishes us, for us to get connected with the local church also. Why? Because this workmanship being created in Christ Jesus is something we do work after salvation. We are not, work is not brings us salvation, but after we are receive our salvation, we do a good work in Christ Jesus. And that is how we demonstrate God everywhere we go. So keep in mind, we talked about the image of God, the grace of God, and we carry this, the Spirit of the living God, everywhere we go. So, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So what God does is he created already the opportunity, the path to accomplishing good works, doing good works. Do you see the point? Hallelujah. So we don't inherit the kingdom of God by our good works. It is totally by faith, by the grace of God, we become part of this bigger church, what we call it, the body of Christ. The imagery uses my body has fingers, foot, and a different part of the body, organs, system, different part of the body. So as we are in the body, as my body functions to do works, we do as a body of Christ the same way. My brothers and sisters, so now he takes us, he puts us in the global body, and he leads us to fellowship with local churches. So that's why we ask. I've been a member of Brighton Christian Church for the last 17 years. Lord called me here, and I am still here because I will be here until the Lord says, okay, now I will send you somewhere else. If that is the case, that means the Lord opens up this, the opportunity. The opportunity means he prepared beforehand. Do you see that? Verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which prepared beforehand. I just discovered it. When the time comes, what I need to do will be popping up. And I will know it. And then he says, we walk in it. Hallelujah. This walk, what it means is live. The Lord called Abraham, he says, walk before me. What it means is walk, live in righteousness, in goodness, in mercy. Hallelujah. This is what the Lord wants us to do. And we will know it. We will know it. As God called Abraham, when he called him, he didn't know where he was going. But later on, he knew God's promise, God's covenant, exactly where God was. Why are we created? And what was the purpose we are created? And that he unites the body. So when he puts us in the body, first in the global church, then in the local church, now we are attached through Christ. So I want to read to you one place, very, very important, then we will wrap up. So what unites us as a body? I need you to hear me very clearly. So I told you that the message will be short. I really mean it this time. In Ephesians 2, the Apostle Paul explains this in chapter 2, verse 15 to 22, how we can be united. Well, I am from Africa. I happened to come to Michigan because Ford Motor Company brought me from Colorado. How can I be brother and sisters in Brighton Christian Church working and serving the Lord for the last 17 years? Does not make sense, right? This is why. This is why. Verse 18. Actually, I would like to start from verse, the same book, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 to 22, it says this. By abolishing the law, remember this is the Apostle Paul writing to Ephesians. The Ephesians are a mixture of people, means a diverse group of people. There are Jewish community, there are Gentiles, there are Greeks and Romans. There are a lot of people from a different background. So he says this. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinance, that he might create in himself one new man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why we are the bride of Christ, as one new man. Hallelujah. So he puts you in the church. He puts you in the church. Guess what? In so many ways, he works out every day. He prunes us. Prunes us. You know, have you seen builders? Of course you have. Of course you have. The builders, when I get fascinated actually to look at builders. When they build, they take chisels. Okay? They form this rock. What do we call it, Scott? Is there, sculpting and making these shapes and sizes. Why? Because the house needs to be built. Dan can tell us about this a lot better than I do. So they put this rock, they chisel it, and they create a fitting shape, and they fit it and to build the house. So this is the body of Christ is similarly made in this formation, that God takes this newborn baby, a newborn person, he puts him in the church, then he starts pruning him. See, sometimes what the mistake we make is we come into the church and we think we can fit just right away. We can't. That's why he prunes us. Sometimes actually suffering can shape us up. Prayer, having the word of God, devotion, all these things contribute for us to fit to the body of Christ. When we are not fitting to the body of Christ, there is a problem. There is a problem. Overall, we have to fit to the body of Christ. Now we go to the main idea. expressed in order that he may create in himself one new man in place of the two. What is he mentioning the two? Well, as you know, in the scriptures that there are people who have been called, the Jewish people, God's people. They were called by God. They are chosen because of Abraham, because of his faith in God. And now they are worshiping, fellowshipping. They are in the body of Christ, in the church. So the Apostle Paul instructs them, God is going to make not two, not three, not four, but one man. How? We will see it. Create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. What he's talking about is near the Jewish people. They were near. They were serving God. They were following God. They were listening to God. Actually, as you know, when they were coming out of Egypt, at one point God said, I'm not going with you, to Moses. You go Exodus chapter 33, you could be able to see the Spirit of God were leading them by day in fire and by night in clouds. By day in clouds, by night in fire. They were being led. And God said, I'm not going with you because of a lot of sin and disappointment. But Moses said an amazing thing. He said, God, please don't send us. If you are not going, we are not going. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, I tell you today, we cannot overcome the challenge of the world. We cannot overcome the challenge of this, the evil spirit. We cannot overcome the opposition unless we, the body of Christ, come together, unless we are led by the Spirit, unless with prayer and devotion. It's very difficult, very difficult. That is very important. So moving on, and so making peace. Now verse 18, look how we are united. And for through him, we both have access to one Spirit. Hallelujah. Were two, we were separate because there is an ordinance. It says circumcised, uncircumcised. There is a lot of ordinances that divide us in half. Now Christ is saying he is creating a new man in Christ Jesus. So there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no slave, a new man in Christ Jesus. Would you say amen to that? Hallelujah. Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. In the body of Christ, there is no such thing as a stranger and alien. When we say that, we are actually creating a division in the church. We are introducing a spirit where it doesn't belong. We are united in Christ Jesus. There is absolutely nothing can separate us. We can separate ourselves. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, but on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being a cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into the holy temple in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now we know a temple is a place where worship takes place. Hallelujah. In the beginning, I mentioned to you that we are created to glorify God, to magnify Him. Say, worthy, 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 to receive glory and honor and thanks. Hallelujah. How that happens? When we do this in unity, in Christ, citizens, with senses, one body, being joined together, grows into the holy temple in the Lord. Hallelujah. Now we are made temple. The temple is connected. The building is connected. Connected. God is chiseling each one of us, fitting us. We're not perfect. We're not. There is no way. Yeah, we are not. So He takes and He makes this the one which is fitting. So He takes me and He fits me right there. Now He creates a temple where there is worship takes place. Hallelujah. When I say praise the Lord, you say praise the Lord. Not because you are obligated, but we worship the same Father, the same Spirit resides in us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I'm finishing now. Trust me. In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into the holy temple. I love the word grows. Oh, this is a journey. Hallelujah. Sometimes when he puts that the rock in there, it's just not quite fitting. He takes it out. He chisels it again. He puts it back again. Here is the thing. After he puts all this rock together, still there are spaces. You see, still there are holes in there. Oh, that's where the cement comes, right? The cement, he comes in, he lashes, he puts the cement. Look at the wall. There is no hole or space. You see that the whole is united. Hallelujah. In the Spirit of the living God. So that is how we are united. Different rocks, different kinds of rocks. Oh, He makes us diamonds. He makes us valuables. He makes us ministers of the kingdom of God. So we worship and we glorify God in the temple. In Him, we are also are being built together into dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are being built together for God by the Spirit. Together into dwelling place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we personally, we have individually, we worship God, we praise God, we bow down to God, and corporately, as a body of Christ, we do the same. And the magnificence of God is present in our midst. Grace means undeserved favor. Hallelujah. Today, you have been here. You have come to the living stone, to the living fountain, because God chose you to be here. Glory, it means the Hebrew word called, similar to Amharic, to my language, it means kabad, means worthy, it's heavy. That's why we adopt this word, and we have, when we feel the Holy Spirit, we say, oh, it was heavy. It was means the presence of the Lord was is evident. We feel it. He is present. That's what it means. Glory means, that's exactly what we mean, that the presence of the Lord. We call upon the presence of the Lord. We lift up God. We say, worthy, worthy. See, the law expresses in a different way. It says, love your God. Yes? It says, love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That is what it means to love God, means to worship God, to reverence Him, to lift Him up, because His God, high worthiness is upon Him. Praise be to His name. Hallelujah. Image means, the Hebrew word, still the same in Amharic, means tasalem. Tasalem means actually, we go to church as an Orthodox, we go to church, we used to, masalem means we bow down to the temple. Tasalem means this image is created and we masalem. Tasalem means, that's exactly what it means. That image I have expressed earlier that we carry as a temple as we go everywhere. My brothers and sisters, it is a beautiful life. The world is a very difficult place to live. It's a challenging place to live. It's a challenging for young guys, young girls, in all of us. It's a very challenging place to live. We have looked at how we should overcome. In practicality, there are five places I'm not going to get to it because of time. But we worship God in prayer. We fellowship to one another. So worshiping is loving God. Fellowshipping, loving one another. And then we have missiology. We go out in Australia today. We are sending the people to go to missions. So the fourth thing, we discipleship means every day we have to feed. We have to be students. I just recently graduated from school, Moody Theological Seminary. But I just love to be a student of the Word, period. I'm not going to graduate. Means I am devoting my life, my soul, my every time, studying the Word of God. Why? There is nothing worthy than that. There is nothing. Academically, I went through colleges, universities, finished that twice even. It's good. But there is much love to learn, to live, to imitate, to emulate, to live and display and don't demonstrate. Discipleship is the fourth one. These are applications. Fellowship, worship, fellowship, missions, discipleship, and the last one is service, that we serve one another. We serve one another. We serve outside one another. I will tell you one story quickly. Just recently, I have my colleague from my work here. The Lord gave me an opportunity. We were going for training to Grand Blanc. This is about 2 years ago. So I asked the Lord, saying, Lord, how can I serve my colleagues? How can I serve my colleagues? So, as I was asking, we are traveling every day from Warren, Michigan, to Grand Blanc. So the Lord gave me a way of service. This is how it went. So the Lord gave me an idea. That idea is to get up early in the morning. Every day, I check vehicles. I check out vehicles. So that means I become a driver. So we are going traveling every day to Grand Blanc, every day for 5 days. Guess what? This is a time of fellowship, time of to get to know each other. So unless we create the opportunity, means we ask the Lord to show us the opportunity, because he prepared already the way, the path. We just have to walk in it. So I asked the Lord, what do you want me, Lord, to do? So I go, I check early in the morning, I park the car on central location, everybody comes, my colleagues, we travel together for 5 days, yeah? So I get to know them. So the Lord gave me this idea. As I was doing that, so I say this, after everybody gets in the car, I say, you know, I don't drive without prayer. So guess what? My colleagues have to pray with me. So we pray together, and we drive, and I drop them. You know, we stay there, training, and we come back together. Now I have a fellowship with few of them. The Lord gave me with that time of fellowship connection, the Lord made it possible for me to get to know them. Some of them are already actually Christians. I didn't know. But because of that opportunity, the Lord opened up the fellowship at work for me to fellowship with them. My brothers and sisters, we took our time to see how the Lord calls us, how the Lord puts us in the church, how what we need to do to unify the body of Christ. And in unity, that the temple is being built and the image of God being transported and being exhibited to the world. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for encouraging the body of Christ. Thank you for teaching us how to be obedient. Thank you that we realize that we have access in the same spirit to the Father. We have unity in the body of Christ. We continue to grow because of what you have done on the cross. We give you glory and honor today and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.